Hello, hello. Welcome to our fourth week of reviews. Congratulations on coming this far, guys. So, as you know, our week of reviews is going to be a moment for you guys to take a deep breath and rest a little bit, but take a moment to look back on the things that you saw before in the last 5 units. And maybe you want to review. We're going to review some things here in the classes, and feel free to review other classes as well. And just take a moment to breathe, of course. And let's get started. So this first class, as you guys already know, is going to be about our dialogue and business in focus classes, okay? So we're going to view some key aspects of each sentence that maybe generated some questions. And remember that if you have any further questions, you can leave them here in the comments, okay? So let's get started. So our first sentence is already there on your screen. Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom. Let's go again. Indeed. Now, on to the next task, which is going to be the database migration project. I'm definitely going to need your help on that, Tom. So an important thing here is that this class is the happy hour class. So this is an informal situation, right? But our first word there is indeed. Now, as we saw, indeed can be used as a few different things, right? So I can say indeed as an intensifier. She is indeed our most specialized employee, for example. So she is indeed our most specialized employee. I'm intensifying our most specialized employee. Employee. Be careful with the pronunciation here. The ye is stressed, okay? Employee. Employee. She is indeed our most specialized employee. So indeed here is an intensifier. But in our sentence, indeed is simply agreeing on what was said in the previous sentence of the dialogue, okay? So indeed. So even though this word is in the happy hour class, it's actually formal, okay? We are going to talk about some informal things that we have in this class, but just remember that indeed is considered a formal word, okay? Formal intensifier, a formal agreement, all right? And it is also used as an expression of certainty, okay? So it, of course, depends on your intonation. So if you start your sentence with indeed, you are showing that you are certain about what the person said and you demonstrate that kind of certainty, okay? And let's move on to the next part of our sentence, which is now on to the next task. On to the next task. So here we have on to. On to is a way to move along into your next subject, okay? So on to the next task, I'm moving on to the next subject. But on to has another very interesting use, which is being aware of something. So for example, you can say, I think our competition is aware of our latest plans. But another way to say that more informally is, I think our competition, the companies that are our competition, or whoever produces products that might be our competition. I think our competition is onto our latest plans or our latest developments or things like that. Okay, so this is a very interesting use of onto. It just means that you are aware, you have knowledge about that fact, or you know about certain information. Okay, onto. And of course, as we are using it in the sentence, on to our next task, on to our next subject, on to the next part of the project, anything like that. It's just a way for you to say moving on, okay? And we have going to here, which we've talked about before, but just remembering that when we're talking about something that is going to be continuous in the future, not a continuous action, but a continuous situation, we use going to or will, okay? So for example here, I'm going to need your help during the next project. So that this is a future situation, right? But I can also use will in this case because it's going to be a future continuous situation, okay? It's not a continuous action, it's a situation that is going to last a while, all right? So, for example, people are going to retire when they're older. So this is, retirement is a continuous situation, so we can use going to or will. People will retire when they are older. So for example, there was a change in the law and the age for retirement changed. So this is going to be a continuous thing. I use will or going to, okay? People will retire when they're older because of the new law, maybe because of something new that happened, okay? All right, so, and the last thing about this sentence that I'm just going to talk about very quickly is definitely. Definitely. Definitely is a very useful word, okay? It's an intensifier, but not the most common kind of intensifier. It just shows that you are very certain about what you're saying. I'm definitely going to need your help. It means that you have no doubt that you are going to need help, but this can be used for other things. For example, the sentence that we made before, she is definitely our most specialized employee. So in this case, I'm showing that I'm certain. So indeed is a formal intensifier that also shows certainty, but definitely is not so formal and is more common in this use than indeed, okay? So definitely is a word that you are going to hear a lot. If you pay attention, you will see that they use this a lot, okay? And then we have another sentence from this class, which is, you keep saying that, but I don't know what you mean. Now, keep is a verb that can sometimes be a little bit confusing, but it's actually very simple, okay? So keep, in this case of the sentence, is something that is happening continuously. You keep saying that, it means that you can, time after time, you're saying the same thing. You keep saying that. You keep getting this wrong. For example, if somebody makes the same mistake all the time, I can say, you keep getting this wrong. What can I do to help you? So to stop the person from doing the wrong thing, you can say, you keep doing this. What can I do to help you? Because the person is doing that repeatedly. So repeated actions, you keep doing that. Or keep can mean not give back. So for example, if a child says, can we keep this dog? Means that you don't want to put the dog back where you found it, right? So you can say, can I keep this dog? So not give back. And of course, the classic use is maintain, the most well-known use of keep, okay? So repeated actions, not give back. For example, I think we should keep this computer. So you are trying out a computer that is not yours, maybe, or you are at a store and you want to keep the computer. Maybe you are thinking of returning it, but you want to keep it, you don't want to give it back, you can say, I think we should keep this computer. I think we should not give it back, okay? And of course, maintain. So the fridge will keep the food fresh. Of course, this is just one of the possible uses. The fridge will keep the food fresh. So it will maintain the food in a fresh state, okay? And we have another verb in this sentence that is mean. I don't know what you mean. So mean can be used as intend to say. So when you say something that you really didn't intend to come across that way, didn't mean to express yourself that way, you can say, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. So you said something that wasn't according to your true feeling. You didn't intend to say it like that. You can say, I didn't mean that. And in this case, in this sentence, it is being used like that, but coming from the other person. I don't know what you mean means I don't know what you intended to say. I don't know what was your intention when you said that, okay? I don't know what you mean. And of course, when you are going to say the meaning of a word, we use mean. So for example, a fridge means refrigerator. Fridge means refrigerator. So I'm giving the meaning of the word, okay? So mean can be used in those two ways. And it is very common in daily situations in that sense of intent to say, okay? So I didn't mean to say that, or I don't know what you mean, okay? And another one is, I'm not sure what you meant. I'm not sure what was your intention when you said that, okay, in the past. And the last thing is seeing what in this dialogue, this happy hour dialogue, is actually informal. So let's take a look at a list very quickly. So hey, the way that they say hello in this case, is very informal, okay? So if you work in a more formal setting and you are talking to somebody for the first time, you're not going to say hey, okay? Hey is much more informal than hi and hello. So use it with people that you know, or if you are in a very informal environment, okay? Of course, if you're talking to your colleagues, you don't have to worry about that, which is the case here in that dialogue. Jerk is a way to say that somebody is not good. It can mean rude or a person with bad intentions, someone that hurts people, jerk. But it's a very informal word, even because of the meaning, right? A pain. So you can say that project was a pain. It was terrible. It was something that made me feel bad. It was hard to do. Okay. A pain is a very informal situation. You guys is an informal way to refer to everybody. It's something that we use here in the course a lot, but keep in mind that it is informal. Okay. And be up to, are you up for a drink? Means are you willing to go? Do you want to? Okay, to be up to. Are you up for a drink? Are you up to going out tonight? Means, is that something you want to do? And the last one, thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Sometimes we see TGI Friday and we don't really know what it means. It appears a lot in series and movies and things. It simply means thank God it's Friday. TGI Friday or TGIF, okay? Obviously, it's informal, but like I said, you don't have to worry about being informal to close colleagues, okay? Always be careful to not be over formal in the wrong situations, all right? So let's move on to our next sentence. Okay, here it is. Outsourcing, that could work, but we need to rethink our supply chain. So this sentence is from the outsourcing class, right? Outsourcing, that could work, but we'd need to rethink our supply chain. So just a quick comment here. Outsource is a verb to give a job to somebody else that's not in your company. So outsource. We need to outsource. We need to outsource. So we can use outsource as a verb. And then we have outsourcing, which is the object. Outsourcing is a great option. For example, I can say outsourcing as an object is our best option. Outsourcing is our best option. So outsourcing is the object and outsource is the verb, all right? And then we have the sentence that could work. Now here we are using could as an expression of possibility. That could work means it's possible that that will work, okay? So could is kind of a little bit stronger than might to talk about possibility, okay? But that's not the only use that it has. So we all know that could has a lot of different uses, talking about abilities, permissions, and things like that. So that could work also has that sense of possibility, okay? That could work has a sense of possibility. All right, so we have other models similar like might, and then we have the very strong models that say that it's a very strong possibility, which are must, that is the strongest one, that must work. It means that you are positive, almost sure that it works. And a little less than must is should. That should work means that it's a strong possibility, but not as strong as must, okay? And the next sentence from this class is, yes, this is not a decision just the two of us can make. I think it's worth considering, though. We'd be able to increase our production with a considerably lower investment. So, yes, this is not a decision. Pay attention to the pronunciation of decision. The second S has a Z sound. Decision, just the two of us can make. I think it's worth considering. I think it's worth considering. Worth considering, though. So in worth, we have the unvoiced TH, worth, worth. And then in though, we have the voiced TH, okay? We'd be able to increase our production with a considerably lower investment. Considerably, considerably, considerably. Okay, so here we have an interesting little set of words, which is two of us, the two of us. A decision just the two of us can make. An alternative would be us two. Okay, I'm using these examples with two, but we can do that with any number of people. So the five of us, this is not a decision just the five of us can make, or this is not a decision just for us two or us five. Usually when we use us two or us five, it's at the end of the sentence, okay? And then we have worth, which as we saw, it means that something has more pros than cons. So the good part is bigger than the bad part. So you can say it's worth it. As we see in the sentence, I think it's worth considering. So considering this may bring us a lot of benefits, okay? And of course, you can say my time at the company was worth it. It means that it brought you more benefits than bad things, all right? My time at the company was worth it. Or my stressful moments were worth it because the result was good, all right? And just for us to remember, we have be able to. So be able to is very similar to can, right? The only difference is that because we have verb to be at the beginning, it is totally flexible, okay? So I can say, I was able to help, to use it in the past. I was able to help. They were able to help. This is very similar to could, okay, in the sense of the past. I was able to help. They were able to help, okay? It's like saying, I could help or they could help. And in the present, I am able to help means the same as I can help, and they are able to help is the same as they can help. But the special thing about able to is that we can use it in the future while we can't really use could and can like that, okay? So I can say, I will be able to help, or they will be able to help. So when you're talking about possibilities in the future or abilities or availability as well, we will use they will be able to help, I will be able to help, she will be able to help, everybody will be able to help, okay? And we can also use this in negative form, I won't be able to help, they won't be able to help, and so on, okay? And in the question, it will be, will you, this is very common, be able to help? In the future, will you have the availability to help? Will you be able to help? Will they be able to help? So I'm asking if they will be available, if it will be possible for them to help, okay? So be able to is the most flexible version of can and could, all right? Our next sentence is, I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget and the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget. A bit over budget. Here we have a lot of linking sounds. A bit over budget. A bit over budget. And the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. Okay. So this class is about giving good news and bad news. And I'm afraid so is a classic example of that, okay? So we have a couple of other very common possibilities. So I'm afraid means that you didn't really want to give the person those news. It's not good news, okay? I'm afraid. This is also used in face-to-face interactions with clients. So for example, if your client asks for a specific product and you don't have it, or your client asks for a refund or something that isn't possible, the most common response is, I'm afraid that's not possible, or I'm afraid we don't have that product, okay? Another way is, I'm sorry to say we don't have that product, okay? It means that you really didn't want to tell the person that. You wish you could do it, but you can't. I'm sorry to say we don't have the product. I'm sorry to say I can't give you a refund, okay? Things like that. And the other one that is also very common in this case, unfortunately. Unfortunately, pay attention to the pronunciation here. Unfortunately, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I can't give you a refund. Unfortunately, we don't have that product. Okay, so these three are the most common options when you're giving bad news. Okay, and we have the so there. So we use so after sentences like I think so or I'm afraid so. So this so in the sentence is referring to what was said in the previous moment in the dialogue, okay? So I think so simply agrees with what the person said. So let's see an example. This update is going to help a lot. So this is going to be a great update. And I can answer, yes, I think so. So you are just agreeing with what the person said, or you can say, I don't think so. We use so in that sense, okay? It just pulls on what was said before in the conversation, all right? And then the next part of the sentence is, the number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget. So over means that it's crossing a line, okay? So for example, I can say over 40% of our employees don't agree. So more, it's another way of saying more than, okay? Over 40% of our employees don't agree with whatever you're talking about. Over 40% of our employees don't agree. And over is also a prefix, okay? So for example, overqualified means that the level of qualification of a person is over what the job opening has to offer, okay? Or needs, actually, over what the job offer requests, okay? So overqualified, overindulgent. This one is very interesting. It can mean when you spend more than you had to, or you eat maybe more than you had to, or anything like that, that you do in excess, overindulgent, something that you didn't really have to do so much, okay? Overburden, for example, she feels overburdened. It means that she has a lot of weight on her back. She feels overburdened. Or this one is a very common one, overachieve, okay? And we also have overachiever. Overachiever. So overachieve means that you did more than what you had to. You are, they call, young people that go, that do very well in school or university, they get really, really good grades all the time and study more than they need to and get better results than they need to, you can say. They call that an overachiever, okay? So you can say, Anna is an overachiever. She achieves more than she really had to, okay? Anna is an overachiever. And Hannah is always overachieving, things like that. You can, it's kind of flexible. You can use it sometimes as a verb. You'll see a lot of variations in that sense. Okay? So over has those uses. And we use over when we're talking about something that happened along a period of time. So I got more sensitive, maybe, over the years. So this wasn't something that happened quickly. It was something that progressed along the years. I got more sensitive over the years. So maybe at first you didn't feel hurt about certain things or you didn't cry over certain things. And then you can say, I got more sensitive over the years. This can be used, for example, I got more specialized over the years. I got more prepared over the years. Okay, something that happened a long period of time. Okay, so our next sentence is, I hope not. We're already spread thin as it is. We lost a lot of personnel in our department, and most of us are going to need to do much more work than before. So let's go again. I hope not. I hope not. We're already spread thin as it is. We're already spread thin as it is. We lost a lot of personnel in our department, and most of us are going to need to do much more work than before. Okay, so the first thing here is that I hope can also be used with that so that we talked about before, okay? So, I hope so. You can say, for example, the same example as before. This update is going to be helpful. So, it's going to be functional for us. And you can simply answer, I hope so. I hope so. This means, eu espero que sim, okay? This is how we say that in Portuguese. I hope so. So you are referring to what the person said just by using so. This is more common than simply saying, yeah, I hope, okay? Yeah, I hope is not natural at all, okay? You always say, I hope so. But in this sentence, we have, I hope not. So the negative version of I hope so is, I hope not, okay? And we have an interesting expression here, which is, spread thin, which simply means that there's more work than people to do it, okay? We're spread thin, there's a lot of work to do, and we're just a few people, okay? And the next thing in this sentence is that interesting as it is. As it is a more common in daily life way of saying the way things are at the moment, okay? So the way things are, we can say we're already spread thin in the current situation or the way things are at the moment. But of course, as it is the most natural way of saying that at the moment during this present situation or this present state of things, okay? And then we have personnel. So personnel has that important stress in the last syllable, personnel. Personnel just means people that work in a certain company. This is very common in signs like authorized personnel only. You know, when there's a door in a restaurant or a mall or any place like that where you are not allowed, you were not permitted to go in because only people that work there are permitted to go in there. And the sign is going to be authorized personnel only, okay? Authorized personnel only. Always stress the nel. Authorized personnel only means that only the people that work there can enter that door. And we have to be careful, of course, not to confuse it with personal. So personal has the stress in per, personal, okay? For example, she invaded my personal space, for example, okay? So if somebody came too close, you can say she invaded my personal space, okay? So don't confuse it with personnel. And the next part of the sentence is much more work. So here I'm using much because work is uncountable, okay? So I'm intensifying the more work using much, but I have to refer to the object. So in this case, I can only use this structure, to talk about uncountable objects. If I'm going to talk about something countable, I use many more computers, for example. Okay, this is countable. And the many or much as an intensifier has to agree, has to refer to the object. So much more work. Work is uncountable. So I say much, much more work. Many more computers. I can count my computers. So many more computers. I'm intensifying. It's not simply more computers. It's many more computers. So a lot more. Okay. And we have another sentence from this class, which we're going to look at very quickly. I did that too. If I'm going to get fired, I'd better have a backup plan. I did that too. If I'm going to get fired, I'd better have a backup plan. So just remember that too can also be as well. The meaning is the same. The positioning is the same, but as well is a little bit more formal. Okay, so I did that as well means exactly the same thing. And we have I'd better, had better. The meaning is the same. The abbreviation is the same, okay? Both are used to say what's the best course of action, the safest and more beneficial option. And it kind of has a sense of if you don't do this thing, then something bad is going to happen. So I'd better have a backup plan. Or else something bad is going to happen. I'd better have a backup plan. It's going to be best for me. It's the best option. Most beneficial option. Okay. And the last thing about this sentence is that we have a lot of ways of saying get fired. Okay. So let's just remember what those possibilities are. Not that we want to say this. We don't want any of these options to need to be used. But let's just remember. Get sacked, to be laid off, to be dismissed, to be discharged, and to be relieved. These are all different ways of saying the same thing. I'd say that the most common ones are get fired, get sacked, or be laid off. And we say get fired or be fired, okay? Both are possible, okay? So to be or to get fired, to get sacked, or to be laid off are the most common options, which we hope we don't need to use, right, ever, or when we don't want to. And we have to remember, of course, all these versions, but the name of this dialogue in this class is layoff, okay? So remember that when the subject is getting laid off or getting fired, you have to be empathetic, okay? Remember, intonation is very important when you're being empathetic and saying, I'm afraid, I'm sorry to say. All those kinds of things are part of the situation, okay? Let's move on to our last dialogue class from this review, okay? So the sentence is, you seem like you have a tough decision to make. You seem like you have a tough decision to make. So remember that seem has a sense of getting the impression, okay? So seem isn't related to specific senses, okay? So when you say, you look like you have a tough decision to make, I'm referring to my sense of sight, okay? So from what I see, you have a tough decision to make. Or sound, from what I hear, you have a tough decision to make. I would say, you sound like you have a tough decision to make, okay? So the difference with seem is that it's a general impression, while those other two are specific to a certain sense. So look is specific to what you see and sound is specific to what you hear. Okay, so seem is a general impression. And we have an interesting thing here, which is make a decision. Okay, we use the verb make with a decision, even though it's not something so abstract. We usually associate the more abstract ideas with the verb do, right? Maybe some people say do a decision, but that's not right, okay? The verb we use with decision is make. We have some other kind of abstract ideas which require make. For example, make a phone call. We always use make a phone call, even though it's kind of a manual thing, but Okay, it's always with the verb make. Make an impression is also kind of an abstract idea, but uses the word, the verb make, or make an assumption. So you are presuming something, you say make an assumption. Okay, so the second sentence is, now that you mention it, yes, you can. I need someone to go over the technical specs and check these two documents against each other. So in this class, we have that specs. Specs is simply an abbreviation of specifications, but it's a very common abbreviation in daily life in a workplace, okay? Now that you mention it, yes, you can. I need someone to go over the technical specs. Go over means to look through, to look at something in general, okay? So a quick look usually of the on the technical specs and check these two documents against each other. So I'm going to leave in the PDF a lot of different phrasal verbs with check, and they all have very different meanings, okay? So for example, we have check on when you just want to see if everything's okay. So for example, he needs to check on his car. So maybe he parked in a kind of sketchy, weird place that doesn't seem safe. So you can say he needs to check on his car. So he's going to check to see if his car is safe, to see if everything is normal, because maybe he parked in a weird place, maybe an unsafe spot, okay? Another example is check out. Check out has a sense of take a look, okay? So always be aware of all these different phrasal verbs with check and the fact that they have very different meanings, all right? And that's it for this sentence, for this class. And remember that if you have any questions, you can leave them in the comments, or you just want to make a general observation, you can leave them in the comments, okay? So remember to take your time here during the review week to look back at the things you feel that you need to review beyond what we talk about here. And don't forget to do the written activities, all right? And I'll see you in our next review class, okay? Bye, take care.